4 days ago, I tried to sit up with Rosie. You know, watching this channel 63. They got some like Little House on the Prairie and stuff like that on there. Your Hallmark channel, that was where. And my foot got twice as big in about 40 minutes just sitting down. So a lot of times, if you have to understand, the last probably two weeks, I've been laying in my bed for about 18 hours a day. I've not been anywhere other than I came shortly for the funerals. And so keep praying for me. I know I'm going to be 100% by next Sunday. And I'm excited. We're going to have a great day next Sunday. I really want you to get people to come. They'll come if you ask them. Well, they wouldn't come. Well, they probably won't if you don't ask them. If you got to get a go, I'm going to ask 10 people per day. That's 70. Start today. To 10 today and all the way to next. You could, if you ask just 10 people, you could do that. You work with that many, some of you, and meet people in the stores. Take a track. Say, hey, we're having Easter service. By the way, deacons, next Sunday night, let's have the Lord's Supper next Sunday night. We won't do it in the morning, but we'll do it at nighttime. You still got some special singing for Sunday night, right, Mark? So we'll have two tremendous services. And alrighty, please turn your Bible to Luke chapter 18. I miss Rod and Debbie Black, but he's been out preaching every service. They're in that church. Is that Johnny? Is it the new church that they're in today? Anchor Baptist? So Anchor Baptist is starting their first service today. You know what? We're going to pray for them. How many have got Luke 18:1? Let's pray right now for Anchor Baptist. Lord, I thank you for that new church and that young preacher starting that Anchor Baptist up there on Lake Erie. Lord, I just pray that you bless him, bless his wife and children. I remember starting the church years ago in 1980. Still there to this day. And there's exciting days. There's excitement about starting new works. I believe it's the plan of God to keep producing churches. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless them today. Bless them and give them a great group of people. I pray you'll encourage them. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll just multiply every week the people that come. Build a work of God there, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and read Luke 18:1. By the way, Lizzie and Eddie's going to, this Wednesday, they're celebrating their 31st anniversary.
Amen.
Ed and Liz White, 31 years. Let's give them a great hand.
Yeah.
God bless you. And Lizzie, he knew how many it was, too. Eddie wants to tell me. Eddie knew. Amen. Well, you got more than I do. Amen. I have. I think it was around 5 o'clock. I don't know what time I got married. Daytime. Sunlight was out. Probably around 4 or 5, I imagine. You know, I really don't know what time it was. I know it was in the daylight. I know the date, the 28th of June. All righty, I'm going to read one verse to you. Johnny, here's the title. Prayer, the difference maker. Prayer, the difference maker. One of our deacons wrote me a card and put in about prayer. He was so right about it. You know, we have a difference maker that we never take advantage of. It's called prayer. Prayer really will make the difference in your life. Prayer will make the difference in my life. I really believe, by all rights, I probably should have died. There's no telling how many days I was in the 600s with my sugar. There was three or four. And you would have think I would have had something major. It's impossible to have what I had. When I look back on it, it had to be people praying.
Amen.
And you made the difference for me. You did. And I'll never forget that. And let's look at 18:1. I only did one paper today, Annie. But you know I can go. You know I can go 40 minutes with one word. So, but usually I have three or, to make you feel better. I had usually have three or four pieces of paper. Only have one here. So, but that probably won't matter. Haven't preached in a long time. What time is it, Brian? I can't see. Is it 11:30 already? See, that gives me. I can't see. I can't even see. I know there's a clock back there. Okay. Look at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always, he's not excluding women, women and men are together, that men ought always to pray. How much are we supposed to pray?
Always.
And look what happens if we don't. And not to faint. So if I'm fainting, then I'm failing in my prayer. That men, to this end, look at that verse, to this end, that men ought always, always, always to pray and not to faint. If you're a prayer warrior, you will not faint. You lack your prayer and you will faint. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time you're going to give me. Lord, please help me to see everything and put everything in my mind I'm supposed to say. Blot out things I'm not supposed to say. And help me just to be a blessing. Lord, I really want to be a blessing to my church. Help me be a blessing. Come down. Anoint me to do the work of God. Help me to do it well, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible says there that men ought always to pray. Did you get that saying? Prayer is a difference maker. If Jesus said, hey, you ought to always pray, then what's that tell me? That prayer is a difference maker in my life. So if I'm depressed, if I'm discouraged, if I'm lonely, if I'm downhearted, what do I need? I need prayer. Many times, it's the most easiest thing there for us, but we fail to use it. Scripture says in Hebrews to come boldly to the throne of God. We as Christians, we're fortunate. We have the privilege to come boldly right to God's throne. That's a privilege for Christians, aren't you glad? And we should want to pray and seek God's face. I want to share a few things about prayer with you today. I want to challenge you to pray more this week. By the way, you ought to be praying today and every day, several times a day. God bless the service of Sunday. Lord, bless Resurrection Sunday. Lord, it's only 7 days away. Lord, it's only 6 days, 5 days. Every day you ought to be praying, God, fill the church. Lord, anoint preacher. Heal preacher so he can stand well. They need to see a well preacher, not a sick preacher. Amen? They need to see a man that's full of the Spirit of God and love and boiling over, just bubbling over with the things of God. You need to pray for that. Pray for God's presence. Pray for God's anointing. Pray that God would come down and be in my life, and pray that your life would be ready. You know, we need to prepare our lives for the services too. They're going to meet at 4:30 for a prayer, singing here. They practice. There's preparation for the cantata. There's preparations for the Sunday services. There ought to be preparation on every member for being in the pews.
Amen.
God bless the singing. God help the singing. God help everything that's done there. You know, we ought to bathe. Every service should be bathed by all our membership with prayer. By the way, Judy, bless her, I'm glad to see you. It's glad that you're here. And notice, number one, by the way, you ought to be praying for people to be saved next week. You ought to be praying today, Lord, who could I go witness to? Or God, who could you put in my pathway? Like the one lady came in Brenda's life. There's always people in our pathway. All we got to do is look for them. Amen? Men ought always to pray. In other words, prayer, Jesus saying, hello, teenagers, hello. He's trying to text message you. Hello? Prayer is the difference maker. Say that with me. Prayer is the difference maker for my life. Say it again. Prayer is the difference maker for my life. Say it one more time. Prayer is the difference maker for my life. Did you kids get that text? Okay. And then, I like texting this way. I can do it real easy. By the way, I don't want no cell phones in here. I wrote down four things, but don't worry. I'll preach till I get done. Why should we pray? Number one, I wrote four things, Kenny, but there's a whole lot, some subtitle underneath them. Why should we pray? Well, we should pray because, number one, Jesus said in Luke 18:1, we ought to pray because if we don't, we're going to faint. We're commanded to pray. He said men ought always to pray. In other words, if we don't pray, we're going against his command. If we don't pray, we're going to fail. If we don't, look what it says there in Luke 18:1, and not to faint. If we don't pray, we're going to faint. If we faint, we're going to fail. If we faint, we're going to falter. If we faint, we're going to fall. I'm going to tell you right now, prayer makes your life successful for God, for your family, for you, for those around you. Prayer makes a difference for people's lives. You know what? Can you imagine you made the difference for my life? James, oh, I'm going to have fun with this scripture. James 5:16 says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, now you got to be walking with God, availeth much. But Lizzie, I got thinking about that verse. James 5, the effectual, fervent, you see all those descriptive words there? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. In other words, if you're not walking with God, it don't matter what you pray. First of all, you got to pray and get your, if you got open sin in your life, you got to confess it to God and get your heart right. The reason a lot of people don't go, they got open sin, they don't confess it. If you got open sin, confess it, get it behind you, and do something for God. Look what it says. And notice the effectual, fervent prayer. You know, I looked up that word effectual in the big Webster 1828 dictionary. The effectual, fervent prayer. The word effectual means producing an effect, having adequate power to produce the effect. I mean, in other words, David, we got power to producing an effect. The effectual means you got power. There's power in prayer. Amen. Billy, God's trying to tell us in there, hey, prayer makes a difference. And prayer, Ryan, there's power in prayer. Effectual. There's power there. The effectual means you can produce something that your desire wants. Prayer can shape what you want to happen. Hello? Fervent. To be hot. To be boiled. To glow. In other words, be earnest and excited. You know what's the biggest part of my ministry? I'm excited about everything about Jesus. That's why you come here. I mean, I'm nothing to look at. And just a plain fellow off the streets that God saved. I know that. But see, what I got is really deep in my heart. And so it's real to me. And I'm excited. I can't tell you how, Steve, I can't tell you how excited I am for next Sunday. I mean, Sunday's coming. Sunday, did you hear me? Sunday's coming. Hey, Brother Coolidge, next Sunday, Sunday's coming. I'm excited about it, Kenny. I'm excited. You know, I'm fervent about it. And see, when you pray, do you really pray with fervency to God? Do you pray, oh, God, I'm excited about this, Lord. I want you to help do this for me. Or do we say, well, God, maybe you'll do it. Lord, would you think about doing this for me? No, be like your kids at Walmart. Here, Mom, I got to have this. I got to have this. It's the last one. I'll die if I don't get it. Hello? You that got kids know what I'm talking about. Oh, I love kids growing up. they're a blast watching. You know, we can learn from kids. We're his kids. Amen? He likes Tippy Brooke will come on. Grandpa, look at this. Oh, Grandpa, I've always wanted this for Grandpa for 15 years. I wanted this. She's 10. I said, you must have wanted it before you were born. She said, I really did, Grandpa. Natty will say, look, Grandpa. She learned it from her mama. Look at these two dresses. Which one do you like best? I can only have one. Get them both. That's how we ought to go to God. See, we're not effective with our prayer because we don't even desire things. If you don't show desire, why should God? Hello? When these people sing these songs, I think about the truth about those songs. Sometimes I just jump up and down, shout, scream. You think I'm putting it out for you. I'm really not. God knows my heart. I can't keep it in me, Grandma. It comes out of me.
Amen.
The joy, Annie, of knowing the truth about Christ, it just comes out of me. I know it shows up like, but it's in me. I can't contain it. I think Jeremiah said it was a fire that he couldn't contain. Yes. And so we ought to have that. We ought to have that kind of desire. Is that Phoebe? Am I seeing Phoebe? Hi, Phoebe. I'm glad you're here. I didn't see you there. Good. And notice, then we should pray because, number one, we're commanded to, so we don't fail. Number two, we should pray because effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. In other words, it's a life changer. Listen to me. Prayer is a difference maker. Can I ask you a question? This week, were you a difference maker in prayer for someone? Were you a difference maker? This week, when you prayed, did you make a difference for anybody? Besides me. You did make a difference. Keep praying for me because I'm still got a long ways to go. But I'm coming out of it. This week, I wonder how many people you could pray for this week. How many people could you pray for this week and say and beg God to reach their heart and have them come hear the word of God and be saved? How many could you make a difference for this week? It's all bad, how bad we want it. How many could make a difference for praying for Daphne? She's got big, Daphne Belcher's got big surgery when she goes tomorrow on her shoulder. Going to be laid up 3 or 4 weeks, I think. Plus, she has to live with Freddie. I mean, that's a lot. And let me say this to you. Look up here. Prayer, what did we learn about prayer? It's a difference maker. You could be a difference maker for Mark Thompson.
Amen.
You could be a difference maker for Eddie and Liz White. You just pick. I'm not going to name everybody's name. You can be a difference maker. You ought to say, God, make me a difference maker for people. Then get down and say, God, put in my heart what I'm supposed to pray for. Yes. See, we don't pray enough. We don't. I don't pray enough. We don't. I'm telling you right now, none of us in this building pray enough. We do not pray enough. Deacon, you know what was amazing? I said, God, put in my heart what I'm supposed to preach Sunday. And then I got one of the, I thank God for all my deacons. We got great deacons in this church. God bless every deacon in this church. One of the deacons sent me a card and he mentioned about prayer. I said, oh dear God, that's in my life. And if it's in my life, it's got to be in their life. We say this, prayer is a difference maker in my life and others. So we need the number one. Why should we pray? Because we're commanded to. Number two, because the effectual prayer availeth much. Great things can come from it if you pray. And it's our duty to pray. It's our duty. Listen, prayer is a lifeline to God. It's our duty to pray. Prayer helps us unlock hidden things that we don't understand. Let me read to you Jeremiah 3. Let me read to you Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call unto me. When's the last time you called unto him? I'm not talking about sitting at a table. Lord, thank you for this steak. Amen. Or God, thank you for this Rice Krispie snap, crackle, and pop. Amen. Or now lay me down to sleep. I hope, I pray and soul you keep. But and help me wake up without not smelly feet. You know. No, I mean, when did you really pray? Look what it says there. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. Call unto me. Call unto me. Hello? Hello? I'm trying to text message you down there. Hello? Call unto me. Call unto me. Hey, you Christians, you sheep of mine, call unto me, and I will answer thee.
Oh.
And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Did you know God unlocks doors for us in prayer? Things that we normally could not see. Prayer can bring understanding to him. You ever be praying, all of a sudden something come up, you say, I never thought about that. Or even somebody could be praying next to you, say, oh my lands, I never thought about that. How many have been like that? See, prayer unlocks hidden things. God shows you. I know secret, Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. But there's some things that he shows us. He says, call unto me. The reason we don't see things, we don't call unto him. He's there, but no one's calling. We're too worried about, like the kids, text messages and stuff. Hello? Amen. Call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou hast not, which things that thou knowest not. I'm going to show you some things that you don't even know if you'll just sit down and pray with me for a while. No one has a closer walk. No one can have a close walk with God unless they have a dedicated prayer life. How many want to have a close walk with God? Unless you have a dedicated prayer life, you can't. Prayer is a difference maker. Even Jesus, when you read the Gospels, over and over, Kenny, it says, Jesus, I just wrote down two examples. Matthew 14:23, he came apart. You got to get apart from people. And then he went up the mountain and prayed. Matthew 14:23. And then again in Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, 36-45, he said he prayed three times. Remember Peter and them, they kept falling asleep. But see, look up here. What does prayer do? It gives you strength. It gives you courage. Hello? I don't know about you. It's hard living in this life. And it's getting harder all the time. Christians, we better take advantage of prayer because it might be the only thing that's going to salvage you. Hello? Prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, prayer can give, even in the midst of the storm, prayer can get you through. Prayer gives you strength and courage to face the troubles and trials of life. Prayer opens up doors of enlightenment. Prayer makes a difference in your life. Then number two, if we don't pray, we forfeit blessings. Number one, why should we pray? Number two, we forfeit blessings when we fail to pray. James 4:2 says, "Ye have not because you." About a month ago, it's probably been longer than that now, maybe 6 weeks. I wrote to Florida that I asked for a building. I asked the guy to give me a building that's appraised for $2.25 million. I know some of you might have laughed, said that guy's nuts. I'm not nuts. I might be all screwed up, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. See, what I've learned that God can do anything. And I don't know if you remember, you that have been here a long time with me, I got all excited about a building one day, and I laid it out on the land. It was 250 by 250. I've never measured that Topps building, but I bet it's pretty close to what I laid out on that land. You could put your school, your church, and everything in there, probably even a gymnasium, till we could get ready to go out and build on the new one. And I asked him to give it to me for free because I needed it for God. You know what, though? I need to keep praying. You need some more letters. See, the effectual, fervent prayer, I should be sending a letter every week. Hello? Let them know I'm serious. I'll send one out this week. See, a lot of things, we have that because we... When I was in Tulsa, I had all kinds of people give me things. I told you these stories before. There was a guy who had a piece of property right next to Lighthouse Baptist Church. It was a duplex. And I said, he was trying to sell it. And I walked up to him and I said, I'd like to have this for God. He said, I bet you would. And I said, yes, sir, I would. And he said, I told him what I'd use it for. And never saw the man. I never saw him after that. About a year later, I was sitting in a church office and the phone rang. It was a lawyer, man. The owner lived in Dayton, Ohio. He said, I'm representing so-and-so. I can't even think of the man's name now. And he said, he's deeded over that property to the church. I said, what property are you talking about? He said, well, didn't you tell a man you wanted this building for God? I said, oh, that one. Yes. He said, well, he's already deeded over you. All you got to do is come down and pick it up. I'm sign off. We're going to give it to you. I bet houses, cars, you name it. You know what, folks? The trouble is most Christians, you don't have enough faith to believe. See, God can do anything. I don't want that building. I just feel like if we have more church parking over there. I could have a larger crowd come to church. They turn car. When I came in, John. When I came in church, I came right. I was right at 10:30. That whole parking lot's filled. Bobby's told me a lot of times he's watched three or four cars, five cars, drive right into our church parking lot and leave because there's nowhere to park. By the way, that's already blacktop and got the lights out and everything. Amen? I'm not saying I'm going to get it, but I'll tell you right. I'm not ashamed that I asked for it. I'm not going to buy it, but it'd be a good stopping place before I go to my land. It would let me have, because the school's bulging out the sides. Hello? See, but I really have faith God can give me that. See, I really do. No, I'm not messing with you. Matter of fact, I'm amazed that he hasn't called me yet. I think I'm going to call, write him and say, you haven't called. What's wrong? Maybe he lost my number. See, that's how I think. See, our God, nothing's too big for our God. See, you don't believe your God can do things. You need 50,000, you need 10,000, you need a car. Why don't you ask God? God, I need a set of tires. God, I remember one time as a young kid, I was praying for a set of tires for my car. I was probably in my young 20s, and because I was saved. I didn't get saved until I was 20. And I prayed for a couple weeks. I gave up. I went and charged at Sears. That same day, I'll never forget this as long as I live, my grandma called me, said, Richie, it got word back to me that you need tires for your car. Take them over and get them put on, and I'll pay for it. I said, oh, Grandma, I just put them on. I just took them to Sears and put them on. She says, oh, okay, never mind then. I'll never forget that. John R. Rice, one of the greatest books you can ever read. I'm serious. Let me give you some titles on two great books. There's a lot of great books. John R. Rice, which I don't agree with everything, but he was a man that God used in a great way. Dr. John Royce wrote a book, Ask Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And he said, be specific. He would actually ask for the exact amounts. And I started doing, and it would actually, I would come out with the exact, it was amazing. I could tell you stories after story. So you say, wow, that could only happen to a preacher. That happens to everybody. If you just, like that $5, that wasn't no mistake. Wasn't no mistake at all. Listen, our God can do anything. Then there's a little small book called Prayer. Praying Hide. Praying Hide. H-Y-D-E, I think it is. This man was probably the greatest prayer warrior there ever was. He prayed so much, and he used to get down on hardwood floors. He prayed so much and so long, his knees made indentations in the wood. Praying Hide. Of course, George Mueller, man of prayer. You should read those biographies. Look, turn the dumb TV off. Read a book. Get a good Christian book, a biography or something. Read about these great people of God. They'll tell you how they got things. How many are still with me? Sunday school teachers, read a book and share it with your class and make it exciting. Hello? Oh, folks, we just need to get down. I'm running out of time. Let me just say this to you. We forfeit blessings because we don't pray. Matthew 21:22 says, in all things, Matthew 21:22, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. See, you got to believe, you shall receive. I like this one. Psalms 81:10. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Hey, God, I want that big top store. See, but you won't ask God because you don't think he can put something that wide in your mouth. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. See, what you need in there to fill is some faith. You get some faith in your heart that God can do things, that he's the creator of all the world. He's the creator of, gives you your very breath. You can start having faith in that. Then you can start believing God can do things. God is waiting and wanting to put a blessing on us if we just trust him and ask him. Now listen, this week you can make a difference for somebody. But will you? This week, I said prayer makes a difference for people. Are you with me? Prayer is a difference maker. I wonder who you're going to meet, who difference maker God's going to be for you this week. Then number three, and I'm closing. I'm trying to close. What shall we pray for? Well, Jeremiah 6:16 says, we should ask for the old paths. Where are the good ways? America needs a revival. Brother Billy Turner, if America doesn't see revival, we're in dire trouble. See, we've let the queers and we've let the gay crowd and the baby killers have their way, And we've kicked God out of the country. We've kicked God out of our homes, kicked him out of the schools, kicked him out of the government. And now, look, our government's crumbling. Yes. Crumbling. We have over... Did you know that the deficit that President Obama's got? If you took all the deficits from George Washington all the way up to George W. Bush, put all those together, Rick, Mr. Obama's got more deficit in his coming fiscal plans than all those in the history combined, than all in the history we've ever made. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what would. Timothy 2:2 says that we're to pray for all men and for kings and for those in authority. You better start praying for them because you've got a man that it's got nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. God knows my heart. I didn't vote for him, but it wasn't. I just didn't think he was. He doesn't stand against abortion. He doesn't do a lot. He's a socialist. That's why they've embraced him in Europe. He's the same. He thinks like they do. You're going to have either a socialist country or a fascist country. You mark her down, and they'll come at me for saying that. But you remember this preacher told you that unless the Lord comes back, you're going to lose this country. I told my kids, and I believe this with all my heart, I don't think you're ever going to see another president run. You're never going to get another vote for another president because I believe this country's going to be taken over. Unless there's a lot of prayer. Unless we have a major, major revival, spiritual revival in our country. You got people like Nancy Pelosi, Barney Frank, Dodd. Those people are right on the scale of imbeciles. I'm dead dog serious. And they're the leaders of your country. And don't if something happens to Mr. Obama, the vice president, they can't even let him go out to even speak to little kids because every time he opens his mouth, he messes up. He used to get on the one vice president for not being able to spell potato. That bum that they got there now, he don't know how to spell anything. We got worse than Jimmy Carter. Aren't you glad you came? I better get off this. I'm gonna get real. the Korean. I'm gonna get it off my. Let me get it off now. Get done here. The Korean people sent that missile up today. A real president would have shot that thing down. Well, you can just get mad at me all you want. What they did, that wasn't no satellite. They're doing to sell nuclear missiles. And Iran's going to be one of them, and Iran's going to try to bomb Israel. That ought to get you mad. I like how he postured our ships over there. I said, oh, dear God, don't let nothing happen to our service boys, because I know he's not going to do nothing, and he didn't. They should have shot it right out of the air. Little North Korea just spit in our face, and he went over and told Europe how bad we are. I'm proud to be an American. Where was I? We're losing out on blessings. Number three, what should we pray for? We ought to pray for the old past. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've left it, and that's why, and that America was great. See, America's greatness came from God. And see, now America's not great because America left God. As long as they stay with God, they were great. And by the way, can I help some of you Democrats that are mad at me? I think the Republicans are just as evil as I think they're. See, do you understand? They're all crooked. Both parties. Let's get them all out. Let's start over again. I mean, let's get everyone out of there. Everyone. I get a kick. The Democrats like raising the taxes. I know why. Did you find poor Obama? He's having trouble. He can't get all he can't even fill all his offices. Got to get filled. And the ones he did, do you know 6 people already they put in position had to resign because they found out they didn't pay their taxes. Not one Democrat paid their taxes. That's why they want to raise yours, because someone's got to pay for them. I know you're getting mad because I know this is a Democratic town, but I'm gonna tell you, let me tell you about the Republicans. George Bush sold us, and I voted for him too. And he sold us down the river, George Bush. So I'll tell you what I think of the Republicans. I'll tell you what I think about Democrats. I'll tell you what I think about God. Yes. We better start getting back some people to know God. I think it's too late. The rapture's going to happen. I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad it's going to happen. It's 12 o'clock. Let me finish this up. 1 Timothy 2:1 says to pray for all men, especially those in authority and kings. We need to pray for our daily needs. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just pray for your daily needs, your provisions. Matthew 6:11 says, give us our daily bread. Pray for souls to be saved. That's... You know, Jesus said over in James 5:20, not only do you save a soul from hell, but you hide a multitude of sins. I think what my life would have been if I... You know, I'm ornery. And Sean Browning's ornery. Jimmy Samuel's ornery. We just come by nature being ornery. What would we be if we weren't saved, though, Kathy? Think about that. Hello? What should we be? We should be. You know what? I want to be people. It's 12 o'clock. We need to be praying for. So you can make a difference for somebody now. You can make a difference for somebody. We ought to pray for our provisions. We ought to pray for our family. We ought to pray for souls. I told you prayer is a difference maker. Now let me say this to you and I'm going to close. Getting shaky, Annie. There's only one. I don't know what that even is. That's all right. I close with this thought. I want you to know that prayer is a difference maker. Now let me say this to you. Prayer makes a difference in your life. Prayer makes a difference in other people's lives. If we would just take this group of here and really pray this week, I mean earnestly, earnestly pray. I mean if I could get your heart to my heart and we would really pray, oh God, bring down people, bring overflow the building. God, save people next Sunday. God, anoint preacher. If we would pray that as a church, as a collective body, and just bombard heaven with prayers. If we say, oh God, give me boldness this week to speak and ask people to come. If people are going to come, they will come on next Sunday. That's the greatest day people will come is on Easter Sunday. We call Resurrection Sunday. The world calls it Easter. By the way, bring candy in for the kids. Bring candy in for the kids. Now, I want to say this to you. You ought to be praying. You ought to be praying about your life. You men, you ought to be praying. You ought to be praying that you'd be a better husband. That you can do right by your wife. And by right by your children. Listen, these kids, they're going through all kinds of problems. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How many times have you went this last week, oh God, give me wisdom to help me deal with my wife. Give me wisdom to deal with my children. Give me wisdom to deal with my neighbor or my people I work with. You know, we need to ask God, God, give me wisdom. Is that you, Brother Mike? Are you back there, Brother Mike? That poem you wrote was phenomenal. I was gonna have you read that. Someday I'll have you come up and read that poem. That is unbelievable what you wrote. But you ought to be praying, God, I need you to help me, Mark. Get your Bible. Everybody turn to scripture. I know it's after 12, but that's right. I haven't got to preach for a long time. You can listen to me. Turn to First Peter. Eddie, you got it? First Peter 5, I'll give it to you. 3:7. Men, you listen, I don't understand women. It takes God to even understand them, and he don't even sometimes understand them. Bobby, Mildred and my wife, they're complex. It takes a lot of understanding. You guys, you girls are unique. Give me 3:7. I want everybody to look at this scripture. 1 Peter 3:7, read it, Dad. Stand up and tell them where you're at, Eddie, just like school.
1 Peter 3:7.
Yes.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge.
Yeah, according to knowledge. That means you got to be underneath, oh God, I married a wildcat. Please, give me wisdom how to deal with her. Knowledge. So I don't get killed, God. Go ahead, try it again. Read it again to start. Yeah, see, you wonder why our prayers aren't hindered. Carl, a lot of us guys are not even right with our wives. If you're not right with your wife, don't even bother to pray unless you're asking God to forgive you. Because they ain't going no higher than that ceiling. We just, listen to me, we got to get back in the Bible. We got to get back to what God says to do. We need prayer. We need men that walk with God, that know God, that understand what God wants for their life and for their family, and say, oh God, give me wisdom. I married a wildcat. Oh God, how do I deal with her? And her mother, my mother-in-law. And God, they're bringing up another one. If she gets married, help my daughter's husband. He's going to need a lot of help. It's in the bloodline. But Brother Marty, here's the problem. We don't pray. We don't seek God. And so we're crummy husbands. We botch everything up. Now, listen to me right now. We need to be honest. Oh, God, I don't know nothing. And I really need to understand how to do this. God, the life is so, Billy, life is so messed up. Everybody's working. Everybody's tired. Everybody's under pressure. We need God. Let me say this last thing. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your life? Do you have a goal for your life? Do you have a goal for your life? Do you have a goal for your life, son? Then I want you to get one. If you don't have a goal for your life, I want you to start praying, God, show me what you want me to do. Everyone should have a goal for their life. When I was a kid on the streets, I didn't have no... When I was a little boy growing up, before I got saved, I had a goal, and it was to be a baseball player. But I let alcohol take that away from me. I thought I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. Because the old man could hit a ball farther than anybody. Little Babe Ruth had a swing like Babe Ruth. He hit massive balls. Let alcohol ruin it. Fortunately, God didn't give up on me. He gave me a second chance. He brought Rosie in my life, and I got saved. I remember as a 20-year-old kid saying, oh, God, I just want to serve you. You don't have to be a preacher. But when you get to the end of your life, when you get to the end of your life, are you going to be happy with your life? Are you going to be happy with it when you get to the end? And you will. I think, I'm telling you, the way I'm feeling right now, other than this little sore foot, I'm telling you, the preacher's back. You think, I'm telling you, I really am. Honest to God, I am. I actually think I'm going to be better than I was. Honest to God, I'm not making it up. But I'll tell you, a couple weeks ago, I had a birthday, my 60th birthday. And the way I was feeling then, I really thought I was checking out. And I had all my kids on my birthday come around. I took pictures of me and the kids around me so they'd have a picture of Dad remembering where he croaked at 60. I think I'll just live to the rapture now. Because Obama will fire me up enough to go all the way to the end. When you get to end, see, I made a goal. You know what? I'm glad and I'm happy. Oh, I didn't do everything I wanted to do. But I'll tell you one thing. I stayed the course. I didn't accomplish everything in life, but I did touch some people's lives for Christ. You don't have to be a preacher. But you can be a Sunday school teacher. One thing is still with Kelly's mama that stood in my heart so much about Kelly's mama. She said to me, I always, when my children were little, I just wanted to make sure my kids heard about Jesus. I mean, I got that from Nancy Randall, Kelly's mama, before she died. She said, I had a purpose in my life, and that goal in my life was to make sure my kids heard about Christ when they were little. So they went to Canton Baptist Temple, and she had a goal. There's Phoebe. She had a goal to serve God all her life and reach little children. She has. You'll see a lot of them in heaven because of your work, Phoebe. When you get to the end of your life, you young people, you better listen to me. And by the way, life's short anyways. See, you might not have any more time than me. Because I'll be honest with you. Once I get my foot back, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be ready snatching people up again, Eddie. I was getting too mellow. I'm feeling pretty good. What are you going to do with your life? If the Lord doesn't come back, and he might not, but I really believe he is, Rob. For your sake, I hope he does. I mean that. You ain't seen nothing yet. What at the end of your life, what do you want to accomplish? Because we're going to stand before God. I was talking to David Richard. He says, Dad, he said, I don't mind selling cars, but I just want my life to count for God. Amen. Let me ask you, is your life counting for God? Is your life counting for God? Get on your knees and say, God, make my life count for you. Oh, God, get my life to count for you. Oh, God, get my life to count. I don't care what it is, if I have to move, I have to change jobs. But, God, get my life to count for you. Make it count for you. At the end of your life, you can say, oh, God, I gave it all I had for you, and it counted for you. Pray about that. Pray about it. You seniors, you've lived your life for Christ. And I guarantee you, aren't you glad you did? I know you are. You young people, you only got one chance in life. I remember I was your age, Aust. I do. I didn't have a mustache, though. My dad didn't pass one on to me. I remember when me and Rosie were just young kids. Just kids. I still feel like a kid, though, Marty. I do. I really do. I'm old, guys. But you, inside me, I'm like, I ain't kidding you. I'm like a little kid. If I die, I'm going to be dying a young kid inside. Because I still love playing. I had visions before I racked my foot up. Man, maybe I can get in the softball league this year. I'm coming back. I am coming back. Maybe before the summer's out, I can practice with you guys a couple times. I'd like to knock one over that fence. If I hit from second base, maybe I can. What do you want to do with your life? This week, what difference? I'm done. I told you prayer was a difference maker. What difference has your life made for anyone? Are you a difference maker? Are you a difference maker for your children? Are you a difference maker for your wife or your husband? Are you a difference maker for your family? Are you a difference maker for your husband? Are you a difference maker for your child? Are you a difference maker for your church, for God? This week, some of you, if you just be, you could be a, say, God, help me be a difference maker. You could be the difference for somebody that's lost, or maybe someone that's been out of church for a long time. Maybe you can get them to come back. Get them to come, and maybe that little spark, God will spark them, and they'll get back in church on a regular basis. God, make us a church. God, help us to go in prayer, because prayer is a difference maker. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help us. Help us. You tell me that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I know why marriages are failing. They're not praying. They're not praying together. They're not praying apart. They're falling apart and they're coming apart because there's no prayer. There's no Bible reading. There's no one seeking really God's will. There's no hunger for the things of God. There's no desire for the things of God. Lord, I pray with all my heart. Today, Christians would get a desire to seek you in prayer. I pray that I would seek you more and more in prayer. I pray that next week we'd see a difference for many people's lives. It could be a difference maker next week. A lot of us could make a difference for somebody. Next week, we could all be a part of making a difference for somebody. Dear God, I pray if there's anyone lost here today, that they would see that Christ Jesus loves them, that he died just for their sins, that he shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and on the third day he arose just like he said he would, that he's risen, he's reigning at the right hand of the Father, he's real, he's righteous, he's reigning, and one day soon he's going to return. And I pray that they'll repent of their sin and invite Christ into their life and be saved. So they know when they die, they go to heaven. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many first would say, "Preacher, I want to make a difference in my life and others. Pray for me. I want to be a difference maker. Pray for me. I want to be a difference maker." Yes, yes. Why are you waiting? Why don't you just come up? Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? Let's get around this altar and start praying. Let's start praying right now. Difference maker. I want to be a difference maker. God, help me to be a difference maker. God, I need to be a difference maker. What about your wife? What about your husband? What about your children? God, my children are having all kinds of problems. God, my children need me. I don't know this couple. Is this couple saved here? I don't know. See if that couple saved, Brother Mike. Make sure he's safe. Right against that wall right there. If he is, amen. I don't think I know the kids. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you want to be saved, you don't want to die and go to hell, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to go to hell for nobody. Satan wants you to go to hell. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels and all those who forget God. You want to be saved? You come forward right now. We'll show you in the Bible how you can leave this church building knowing that you're going to heaven. You can know for sure you're going to heaven by repenting of your sin, asking Christ to save your soul. Jesus was a difference maker for you and I. We can be a difference maker for somebody else because he was a difference maker for you and I. That's how come we can be there. It's him in us that makes the difference. If you'd like to come, you come right now. Maybe there's someone you need to be saved. Why don't you pray for them right where you're at? God, I know a friend or a family member. God, let me be the difference. God, help me to be and make a difference. You go out the door, grab some tracks. Grab some tracks and tell people, hey, we're having a tremendous, tremendous service next Sunday. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be outstanding. I can't think of a superb word to describe how great it's going to be. Were those kids saved? I've never seen those kids. Are those first-time visitors? Praise God. That young couple that came, I'm glad you're here. Everything's blurred to me, but I don't think I ever saw you. Glad your kids are here. You keep coming. I get more ornery as I get better. Man, it's great being back. Let's go out and be difference makers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Get that sin out of your life. Listen, you got to start at block one. You got to get the sin out of your life, then you start going from there. You can't climb the ladder till you get the one this thing is stopping you. Glad you came. Eddie and Liz, would you greet the people? Now, I'm going to come back tonight at 6. I'm going to have Pastor Dave preach. I'll try to be here unless my foot gets real bad and I can't. But I'm planning on being back tonight.